We're always having thoughts that go through our mind, and we're always having thoughts of life's probabilities and difficulties and things that are really tough to do. And Sibylla Gabor had a very difficult thing to do. She was faced with the opportunity to walk her spiritual path and study spiritual aspects of her being. In other words, finding her peace and her presence and her power, or to stay with her daughter in London and enjoy a snorting good time, enjoying her daughter and her grandson, or to be with her son in London, who is doing beautiful things, or to be with relatives in London, or to go to Carolina, is it?
Yes, North Carolina.
Huh?
North Carolina.
Yeah, North Carolina to visit the brother. To visit her brother and have all these nice family ties, or to come to the University of Healing here and discuss the topics of a positive thinking, of living a life that is so joyous and so wonderful. And as Sibylla put it when she came here, she says, "I would like to see the light." And I think that's beautiful. She would like to see that inner light and live by that inner light, right? So, it just coincidentally happened that Stefan writes us an email today, and in his email he says these things, and I will say what Stefan said and then say what I respond to them. And he said, "I began reading Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, and I found it quite interesting. I was fascinated by his description of his inner awakening, bliss, peace, and love beyond words that came amidst of an extremely challenging and depressive stage in his life. As I read about his illuminating experience within me, it said, yes, that's exactly what I want. Nothing else really matters in life but to reveal and be just that, bliss, peace, and love beyond words." Now, to take a side here, Eckhart Tolle says that he had gone through a very dramatic event in his life where he almost wanted to kill himself and do all sorts of other silly things. And he writes about it very graphically and very vividly and very powerfully in his book in the very first chapter. And he tells about how it had been so devastating to him. And then he tells about his awakening experience. Now, you and I, as we read his book and as we read this, we remember that very devastating experience. I'm not going to repeat it here, of course. And we remember that, and we remember, oh yeah, he sure went through a lot of difficulties, and before he woke up, he sure did a lot of tough things. And yes, that's true. And it reminds me so much of the teachings of Jesus. Jesus would have people come to him and they'd say, "Jesus, I've got a broken leg." And Jesus would say, "I am the Christ. What would you have of me?" "Well, I've got a broken leg." You know? And Jesus said, "Well, that's fine. Are you enjoying that? If you like that, we can have the other broken leg too, you know, the other leg broken." And he said, "Jesus Christ, what sort of a nonsense are you talking about?" And Jesus said, "I am the Christ. I see everything good and very good. There is no evil in this world. There is nothing that needs to be healed. There's nothing that needs to be changed. Everything is good and very good right now, just as it was created in the very outset." And he said, "What would you have of me? What would you have me do, the Christ?" And then, "Well, I'd be healed." "Okay, now we know what area that you're interested in talking about. Now we know that you don't want to tell me about your terrible broken leg. You want to tell me about your whole leg and how beautiful it is and how wonderful it is. So let's put our thoughts on that now." Well, this is what, if Tolle could have left that out of his book, the first part, people would perhaps have not read the book because they wanted all that garbage. And then they looked for the garbage, and because they had all that garbage, they didn't get the real benefit of the book. Because the real benefit of the book, as Tolle puts it, is living in the now. Living in the now. And I have been teaching this for a long time here at the university too, and it has been one of our most difficult tests for people to get into living in the now. And people just cannot get into living in the now because they say it is so difficult because you always remember the past, you're always speaking from the past, you're always speaking to the future. Well, that's what we're here to learn. We're here to learn to live in the now. Sylvia, when you are in bliss, are you in the past, your future, or present?
Totally in the now.
In the now. Oh, that sounds good. When you are living in peace?
Now.
When you are living in love beyond words?
Now.
When you are living in love beyond words, do you remember how it came about or what it's going to become, or do you just live in the love beyond words?
Live it, dear. I just aim it.
Now, and you have to realize that when you live in this love beyond words, what happens? You're a happy person.
Yeah.
You're living in the now.
Yeah.
Ah. When you live in this love beyond words, what are you living in?
In the now.
Great, great, great. And when you're living in the now, what are you doing?
I don't know anything else.
You don't know anything else. You don't know a past, you don't know a future, you don't know anything but the now. Right?
Right.
And if you live in the now, live in that presence, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. And like Sybil said, sometimes people think you're cold because you don't really care. Somebody comes in with a broken leg and you say, "Hi, how you doing?" "I got a broken leg." "Oh, that's nice. How you doing? You sure look nice. You look wonderful." "I got a broken leg." "So what kind of a nut are you?" "Oh, you're cold. You're cold. You don't even recognize that I'm hurting." "Hey, you want to hurt?" "No." "Well, then let's talk about not hurting. Let's talk about, I'm holding for you, holding for, but I'm not." "But you are." "I'm not, but you are." You see, they fight, fight, fight the very thing they want, you know? They protest. How did that phrase go?
Protest. The women protest so much.
But we protest.
Our limitations.
We protest.
And they are ours.
Protest your limitations and they are yours. Protest your limitations and they are yours. How silly it is that we do that, you know?
Yeah.
And how do we step out of it? Well, now let's look further here at what Tolle has to say. Stanton writes, Tolle says, "The mind is the obstacle because it judges, possesses, and lives in the past or future. Therefore, stop identifying with the mind, its thoughts. Not because it is not you, but because it is not you who are ultimate, who you ultimately are. Rather, become an observer of the mind, an observer of every single moment. This will allow you to see the gaps in your thought streams, gaps out of which the eternal bliss, peace, and God shines through. To be so completely in the now, so that the mind, and with its memory, which is the past, a form of identity, and anticipation, which is the future, a form of promise and salvation, loses its grip over man." Well, now, I have umbrage to pay with merely one word here. And that is, the mind is the obstacle. The mind is not the obstacle. The mind, and I presume, it's the universal mind.
Right.
The universal mind. If it's not the universal mind, then it should have given it the other name.
Mm-hmm.
The universal mind is that mind of divinity, that mind of perfection, that mind of allness. Now, the way we do it, we say, "I'm going to have mind surgery." Mind surgery. You have mind surgery? What are you going to have?
Brain surgery.
Thank you. You're going to have brain surgery. You're not going to have mind surgery.
Oh, perfect.
Now, why are you having brain surgery? Because you think the brain needs some surgery. Because you think the brain's got some limitations about it. Well, now, can you ever be surgical to your mind? No. Because it's your brain that passes through the information that the mind is. The mind is all-knowing. I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows the answer. Now, the mind is all-knowing. Now, the brain has had limiting thoughts about it, and these limiting thoughts say that there are some things you cannot do and cannot be, and that's not true. because we can do and we can be everything. So if we were to change Tolle's attitude here, or word, and from the quote that Stefan has given us, he says, Tolle says, and then we change the word mind to brain. The brain is the obstacle because it judges, possesses, and lives in the past and future. That's true. Therefore, stop identifying with the brain and its thoughts, because it is not you. It is not who you ultimately are. Rather, become an observer, that's a good word, become an observer of the brain, an observer of every single moment. This will allow you to see gaps through which your thought streams, gaps out of which the eternal bliss and peace and God shines through. To be so completely in the now, so that the brain, and with it memory, which is the past, the form of identity, and anticipation, which is the future, a form of promise and salvation, loses its grip over man. Now, if we allow ourselves to think that our mind is a computer, then that's a very limiting thing. If we think of our brain as a computer, that's more realistic. So if we think of our brain as a computer, and our brain is programmed to say that it does not know mathematics, and so you put a chip in there that informs it that it now knows mathematics. And it always knew it, but it just now knows how to get it out. Like a little child, he doesn't know how to speak, but as he learns how to speak, he learns how to get out all that's within him, all that magnificence and genius that's within him. It's just fantastic. This young man in prison was telling me that he went before the parole board, and the parole board said, well, now, what about your training, your education at the University of Tulane? Is it one of those fly-by-night schools where you do nothing and get your degree, you know? And he said, oh, no, look here, see, every course, every program is designed, it is the absolute four-year college level requirements, the amount of information that you get, your three-year college for master's and 4 years for doctorate, and so it's the same. Oh my goodness, and the numbers are all right there showing the number of hours that you're spending reading your materials and studying your books and doing your lessons and so on, and it's all that. And she says, oh, you really have these things into your brain very well, you know. And that's beautiful. See, that's beautiful. Now, we don't want to have our mind be limited. We want our brain to be unlimited too, like our mind. But if we think that our mind is limited, then our brain is limited too, because our brain is an expression of our mind and what have you. But if the brain is merely the channel through which the universal mind expresses itself in our life and our affairs, then that's to the great, to the good, you see? Neat, huh? So, Mr. Stefan goes on, at the uni we are basically taught, and I take umbrage there again, at the uni we basically believe, we basically understand. You see, because we're understanding these universal principles, mind, brain, things like that. We're basically understanding, yes?
I said we basically share, we at the uni we share the understanding, da da da.
Yeah, it's more of that.
Not basically.
Yeah, we share. Yes, that's true, and that's what I keep calling myself, a sharer, not a teacher or a philosopher, anything, just a sharer. I'm sharing what I know, and you're sharing what you know, and we all share what we know, and we get a lot that way. Okay, he says, at the uni, we are basically sharers. We are sharers, which I say. And then, this is what he phrases it to be. He says, become a friend of the mind, a friend to yourself. Well, now, from our interpretation of brain and mind being the universal, to become a friend of the universal mind, pretty cool, pretty cool. Okay, embrace your mind, embrace your universal self. Love yourself. Say or think in every moment beautiful thoughts like, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. Thereby, you live in the now because your mind that will then not wander to the past, the future, in which it has a tendency to judge good and bad, etc. Stop there a minute. Thereby, you live in the now, because your mind will not have a tendency to wander. Well, now, what he really means is, your brain will not have a tendency to shut off and go where it wants to go. Mm-hmm. If I tell you about Tolle's book, and you actually have read the book, you will tell me about that incident in the beginning, which was so tremendous that got him into the work. And I'll say to you, well, what about his teaching of now? Yeah, but it is so complex and so beautiful, but so wonderful, it's so complex, and so, you know, but you remember very well the negative incident. And you see, this is what your brain does, because your brain assumes this. Now, if you read Tolle's book, and you just use your mind to read the book, you will discard all those things there that are not germane to being living in the now, and the book will be super. And it is super. It's a well-written book. It has one major flaw, besides the illustration. Alan, can you tell me what the major flaw is?
They're living in the now.
Writing in the now. Did you hear me?
No, I didn't hear you. I saw you.
You read my lips. Okay. Writing in the now. If this book is called Living in the Now, The Power of Now, then you would think it would be written in the now, that all the writing would be in the now. All the writing would be in the now words. And that's tough. That's tough because we're not trained to do that. Our whole life is living in the past, present, or future. You know, we're not living in the now. Our whole life is not dedicated to being in this instant. It's dedicated to being in all instances. And you can't do that. You can, but your mind is flitting so quickly from one point to another that you do not have any feeling of solidity and any feeling of satisfaction. You know, it's tough. Okay. Thereby, your mind will not wander to the past, present, or future. So it's not the mind, it's the brain.
Yeah.
You see, and so if he were to say the brain there, then it'd be more logical for us. Because then our brain will not wander to the future in which it has a tendency to judge good and bad, to possess and thereby experience suffering. Okay, so the Uni 2 teaches to live in the now, to forget the past, to let alone the future, but in a different way. Now, as I'm sure you have had, as you have said it many times, and you will say it many more times, but what really needs to be done to become aware that of that light within. So now he asks the same question. How do we become aware of the light within? I'll finish this little paragraph here. What do you think of Tolle's ideas? What about the mind as an obstacle? Obviously, God, bliss, and the eternal, the light is beyond the relative mind, just as it is beyond the body, too. I really shouldn't be picking Stefan apart like this, but what really needs to be done is to become aware of the light within. That's true. And to become aware of the light within, what do you do?
Live in the now.
You live in the now. Yeah?
And if, when as I live in the now, then I'm living in the reality. That means not in a relative life, but in absolute.
Right. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, so how are you going to be aware of that light within, Sybil?
By telling myself I am the light.
Oh, how simple. By telling myself I am the light. That's how you become aware of the light within, by telling yourself I am the light. There's nothing else. Well, end of lesson. Okay. And what do you think of Tola's ideas? I think they're fabulous. I think they're fabulous ideas, the ideas of living in the now and thinking in the now and working in the now. And it just takes a little practice. And what about the mind as an obstacle? If the mind is the universal mind, how could it ever be an obstacle? If the mind is the brain, yes, it can be an obstacle because it's still, it has filters in it that we put there to keep out information. All of us have had interesting experiences with our computer. And I have lots of people who write me and send me emails on my computer, and their email goes to my trash bin. And it's not my selection. I try to figure out how to get them to be able to come into my email and stay there and not go into my trash. And the computer, so to speak, has a mind of its own because they have put programs in there and they said, if this word comes through in the computer statement in an email, it's not good, trash it. If sex comes through, if nakedness comes through, if a naughty word comes through, trash it, you know. My goodness sakes. Elmer Green at the Menninger Foundation was writing a book on sex and the single lady or something. And in writing this book, naturally had a lot about sex. And his computer kept trashing all of his emails from other people who were telling him about experiences that he needed for his book. That's silly. Obviously God. Now, I would say, Stefan, I would like you to listen to this very carefully. God of the Jews, God of the Protestants, God of any nation is capitalized. But the universal God, like the universal mind, is lowercase. And in religious science, they used to capitalize mind, saying the universal mind, because they wanted you to know definitely it was the universal mind, not the individual mind of people. Well, the individual mind of people doesn't exist. The individual brain of people exists, and that uses the mind. But the universe, there's only one mind, and that's the universal mind. In fact, in the thesaurus and in the dictionary, it defines mind as the universal beingness. Okay, so he's capitalized it here, and we don't do that. Obviously, God, birth, the eternal, the light, is beyond the relative mind, just as it's beyond the body, too. Yeah, the relative mind, so you're going to have to always say relative mind if you're going to say brain. And why not just say brain?
Yeah.
It makes it a lot easier. But he is certainly thoughtful, provocative, interesting, and charming in giving this to me. And great guy. So, think about these things and think about how you are doing these things and what you're thinking about. Was that worth it?
Very much.
Yes. It was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Stefan. And may the force be with you. And not that, Stefan. Stefan, you are the force.
Super.
You are the allness. You are the mind. And it's a pleasure and an honor to work with you. I love you.
Love you.
Have a good day.